Welcome to this deep dive. I know you follow this stuff pretty closely, legal stuff, so we've got a case that you might find pretty interesting. It's Zuver v. AirTouch Communications. It's a Washington state case, and it really gets into this whole world of arbitration agreements and employment disputes.
Yeah, it's a landmark case, really. I think it shows this kind of tension, between how courts want to enforce these arbitration agreements, but also, they have to make sure they're protecting employees from any terms that are unfair.
So let's get right into it, okay? Back in 1997, Therese Zuver, she gets a job offer from AirTouch Communications, standard kind of situation, except one thing, there was a condition. She had to sign an arbitration agreement to get the job.
And it's kind of funny, at the beginning, neither Zuver nor AirTouch, they didn't really think of much about this agreement, It really only became a big deal years later.
And here's something important to keep in mind. Zuver already had fibromyalgia. She had it before she even started working there. And this is going to be important. We'll see why later.
Yeah, it definitely comes into play. So as time goes on, her fibromyalgia, it gets worse. And she starts asking for accommodations, like maybe working part-time or doing some telecommuting. But, well, unfortunately, they didn't give her the accommodations, and eventually, she was let go.
Okay, so fast forward a few years, right? Zuver decides to sue AirTouch. She's alleging discrimination because of her disability, saying they didn't accommodate her. Her lawsuit, it points to the Washington Law Against Discrimination, the WLAD.
And then that's when AirTouch, they're like, wait a minute. They suddenly remember, hey, we've got this arbitration agreement. It's almost like they both forgot about it completely. And AirTouch, they say, look, this whole case, it has to go through arbitration, not a regular court.
Oh, wow. I can only imagine what Zuver was thinking at that point.
Right. And to make things even more complicated, there were some really specific clauses within that agreement. Right. And that's where these legal concepts become super important. Procedural unconscionability and substantive unconscionability. It's a mouthful, I know, but basically, procedural unconscionability, it asks, was this agreement even formed fairly? Did Zuver have a real choice? Like, was there anything hidden or deceptive in the process?
So it's like looking at the process of how the agreement was made.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got substantive unconscionability. This one looks at the actual terms themselves. It asks, are these terms so unfair, so one-sided, that it just shocks your conscience? Like, are they just way out of line?
So basically, they're looking at the content of the agreement, seeing if it's fair or not. I'm guessing in Zuder's case, the court had to consider both of these, right?
You got it. The Washington Supreme Court, they ended up saying, okay, the arbitration agreement, it's enforceable. However, they also said, hold on, there are two specific parts of this agreement that we're striking down.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting. They decided there were problems with the confidentiality clause and also the part that limited what Zuver could potentially get if she won, specifically the part about waiving punitive damages.
Yeah, the court said these were substantively unconscionable. Like, take the confidentiality clause. It could actually prevent other employees from showing that there's a pattern of discrimination because individual cases would just be like silenced,
So, in theory, a company could keep discriminating against employees with disabilities, but nobody would know because of this confidentiality clause. It would protect the company, not the employees.
That's the worry, right? It goes against the whole idea of laws like the WLAD, which are supposed to protect employees and make sure everyone's treated fairly.
Okay, so we've talked about that confidentiality clause.
Oh.
What about the waiver of punitive damages? How did the court see that?
They saw it as giving AirTouch a huge advantage. It was totally one-sided. Punitive damages, they're meant to like punish bad behavior and make sure it doesn't happen again. But if Zuver can't even ask for those, then the WLAD loses a lot of its power.
It's almost like saying, sure, you can sue us for discrimination, but even if we lose, it won't really hurt us that much.
Exactly. And courts, they're really sensitive to this imbalance of power, especially when it's between an employer and an employee.
Now, I understand there was a dissenting opinion in this case, right? Not all the justices agreed with getting rid of those parts of the agreement.
That's right. You had Justice Madsen. She agreed with taking out the parts that were problematic, but she didn't see the whole punitive damages waiver as such a big deal.
Oh, interesting. So what was her reasoning there? Why did she think it was okay?
Well, her argument was that contracts don't have to be perfectly symmetrical, to be fair. Just because one side gives up something, it doesn't automatically mean it's unconscionable, right? It could be a strategic choice, even if it seems to favor one party.
So from her point of view, AirTouch limiting their own potential liability, it was maybe a calculated risk they were taking,
Yeah.
not necessarily them trying to take advantage of Zuver.
That's how she saw it, yeah. And this difference of opinion, it highlights this tension that's always there in contract law, this balance between freedom of contract, where people can agree to whatever terms they want, and the need to protect people from unfair terms, especially when they're in a weaker position.
So it really is a classic kind of legal dilemma, right? You've got that freedom of contract, but you've also got to protect people from agreements that aren't fair. How do courts usually handle this? I mean, how do they figure out what's unconscionable?
Yeah, well, context is everything. Courts, they look at the whole picture.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship between the parties, what kind of deal it was, all those things help them decide if a term is really unconscionable or not.
So in Zuber's case, I'm guessing the fact that it was an employer-employee situation probably played a big role in how the court saw those provisions, right? That power dynamic.
Exactly. They were really focused on protecting employee rights, making sure these arbitration agreements weren't being used to, like, get around laws like the WLAD.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, arbitration, it's supposed to be a faster, more efficient way to handle these things.
Right.
But it shouldn't be a way to, like, undermine fairness or weaken the laws it's supposed to work within.
Right. That's the key point. It's something everyone needs to remember, whether you're drafting these agreements or reviewing them. Courts, they might generally like to enforce these arbitration agreements, but they're really starting to look at them more closely now, especially when it comes to employment stuff.
So we've got this split decision in Zuber, the majority saying some parts are unconscionable, and Justice Madsen seeing it differently. Does this case, like, change the conversation at all when it comes to this whole freedom of contract versus protecting vulnerable parties thing?
Well, it definitely highlights this ongoing debate we have in contract law, you know? On one hand, you want people to be able to freely agree on terms, but on the other hand, you have to make sure contracts aren't just exploiting people, especially when they're in a weaker position.
Seems like a tough balance to strike.
It is. And that's why these cases like Zuber are so important. They force us to think about the power dynamics involved, how the law can make sure things are fair.
Now, Justice Madsen, she seemed more inclined to uphold the freedom of contract idea, even if the agreement wasn't totally balanced. Do you think that's a common view these days? Like, is that where contract law is headed?
It's hard to say for sure. It's always this push and pull, right? You want people to be able to negotiate their own terms, but you also don't want to see anyone getting taken advantage of. Courts are dealing with this all the time.
Especially with employment contracts, right? There's often that built-in power imbalance.
Exactly. In Washington state, they tend to be very pro-employee on these issues. They really look closely at these agreements, make sure employees aren't getting stuck with something that's not fair.
So, Zuber, would you say it's a sign that things are, like, shifting more toward protecting employees in these kinds of agreements?
I think it's definitely a notable case, yeah. It upholds the general idea that we do want to enforce arbitration agreements, but it also draws some pretty clear lines. Courts are becoming more willing to step in to look at these agreements and say, hey, some of these terms are just not okay, and they'll strike them down if they have to.
So it seems like transparency and balance, they're really important here.
Absolutely. Employers, they really need to think about things like those confidentiality clauses or limits on remedies. Are they really necessary? Are they balanced? Or are they just trying to give themselves an edge?
It sounds like employers really have to walk a fine line, right? Protecting their own interests, but also making sure the agreement is fair enough that a court won't just toss it out. What about from the employees' side? What should they be taking away from all this?
I think for employees, Zuber shows that they do have some power here. They shouldn't just sign any arbitration agreement without really understanding what it means.
Yeah, you got to read the fine print, right? Make sure you know what you're getting into.
Exactly. Things like those confidentiality clauses we talked about, any limits on what you can get if you win, even how the arbitrator is chosen. If something seems off, if it feels like the employer has all the cards, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions. Maybe even talk to a lawyer about it.
It's good to know that courts are, like, stepping up more and more to protect employees in these situations. Zuber is a good example of that.
It is. It shows that courts are starting to see those power imbalances that can happen between employers and employees, and they're trying to make sure arbitration agreements aren't being used to, like, take away employee rights or bypass important laws.
So, Zuber, it's kind of a win-win in a way. It gives employers and employees a better idea of how to make these agreements fair and enforceable. But it also reminds everyone that protecting employee rights is really important, even when we're talking about these alternative ways of resolving disputes.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. Zuber isn't just about these arbitration agreements, you know. It's about fairness. It's about balance. It's about making sure the law works for everyone, not just the people who hold all the power.
That's a great point. And it's something to keep in mind whether you're an employer or an employee, right?
Absolutely. It's not just about legal agreements. It's about how we treat each other. Fairness, respect, those things matter.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive into Zuver v. AirTouch Communications. Thanks so much for being here today. Hopefully everyone listening has a better grasp of this case now and what it means for how arbitration agreements are evolving in employment law. And until next time, keep learning, keep exploring. This world of law, it's always changing, always something new to discover.